good to be here. Before I start with the lesson, give you an update where I told you we're working on some things. And, you know, we've been here about a little over a year and a month or so. Brother Mike just brought me some things here. I'll show a few of you. Some new handouts. We're going to pass them out if you don't care. We're going to start walking, going door to door, wherever I go visiting, and hand these things out. They've changed month by month because of dates on here, but well, hopefully that enough people find out we're here, they'll come, you know. Kind of like one of those things you build, they'll come, you know. You can't expect them to come, but they don't know we're here, you know. So we're really blessed to have a Spirit congregation of people here when there's no sign up front. It's a library building. I mean, God bless us, you know. I told you last week, I think it was last week, there's a guy in Kenya. His name is Pastor Alex Yaga Benson. He's from Nairobi, Kenya. He's 28 years old. He is pastoring a work, or actually pastoring two works, and he has to walk 11 kilometers, which is about 6.5, almost 7 miles, to service one way. I mean, we don't like having to drive that far, much less having to walk it, you know. But he has no job. And I don't know how he misses his money. I don't know how he lives. He lives with his mom and dad, I know. They are in need of some Bibles. They hadn't asked for food. They didn't ask for money. They didn't ask for a bunch of things, but stuff we take for granted. I know myself, first time a Bible connoisseur, I guarantee you, 15 Bibles in the house. Most of them are laying around the house all over the place. I got two in the truck. I got one at work. I've got Bibles everywhere. But they're just begging for Bibles because they don't have one, Brother Wilson. They don't have nothing to read, and we take them for granted. Well, we don't take an offering here. You know that. And I told him, I said, Brother, I don't know what we can get. But I started a sponsorship thing, and I already got one lady sponsored two Bibles. They're $8.75 a piece. You don't have to give if you don't want to. This is if you decide you want to help this congregation out, just let me know how many you can afford to sponsor. That's all I say about that. We don't have to take up a lot of money here. Haven't had a need to so far. Also, while I'm still talking about the things we're working on, we are looking at a better sound system because we have a good website. It's functional, and they are people hitting it. I mean, we had people hit from 12 different countries, a lot of people from Lenore. It's working. So I believe Brother Mike and things that work, put effort behind it. So what we're going to try to do is work on the quality of the sound. You know, working in sound, I like to hear. I'm almost deaf, but I like to hear good sound, if that makes any sense. I don't like cheesy sounds. I believe if you're going to do it right. So we're looking at some better sound equipment. And also, here's the latest bright idea I've got. I think it'll be a good idea. The website is open 24/7 worldwide. There's no limit to it. The guy in Kenya asked for more teaching. He wants to learn more truth. Also, the people out there who hit a website who we never speak to, they have no idea who we are. Well, I thought we'd put a new tab on there, a new page, where they can go on there and have a video teaching series. And have different topics, like on the home, on finance, on revelation, on various topics, different doctrines of the church. And just have a short 15 to 30 minute video that they can. You give them too much, but they won't want to sit there and watch it. So you give them enough to get them interested, and then maybe they'll come and hear the truth, you know. So we're going to try to work on that, a video series, where they can actually see a short video. So we are working. A lot of people who say they're going to come. I talked to Jimmy Clark, like I said. I thought he'd be here, but he didn't come. So we'll just keep plugging. So just because we don't see a bunch tonight, don't mean they're not on the way. I want to thank God, truly. I want to thank God again for the chance to get away. It really helped me out a bunch. It was a load off my mind. Okay. And God gave me this message, actually. Before, I was getting where it was tough to get a message because my mind was so tired. I was physically tired, spiritually tired, mentally tired, and emotionally tired. I was just tired all over. And just a three-day weekend and a day, Sunday, all day Sunday on the beach talking to God, I had the best time. He refreshed me instantly. It was really good. I couldn't ask for it. I mean, there's no amount of vitamins could give me that refreshing, no amount of anything. So I am thankful. But he gave me this lesson here while I was down there. And you'll see why when we get to it. But I may not be a long-winded preacher, but I'll give you what God gave me. I don't believe in... I've seen people, but I might be able to stretch it out just to make it sound like I preach for 2 hours. You know what? If God gave you a 15-minute lesson, give a 15-minute lesson. If He gave you a 30-minute, I like to hear what God says, not what the man says. So let's just ask God's blessing, right? Father, we come to You thanking You, God, for how You've blessed us, God, for the great time of refreshing, Father. Thank God for those who have made it here, God, tonight, God, that You'd help them, that they might get what they came in need of, God, if there's encouragement needed for salvation, if there's healing, God, if there's whatever need there is, God. Lord, You're an all-powerful, almighty God who can fill all our needs at one time, Father. We pray, God, You'd help us, Lord. Help us to deliver this message without any of my own thoughts, dear God. Help me, Lord, to allow You to use my mouth, use my mind, dear God, for Your glory, God. May when we leave this service, God, we can say we heard from God, that it was good to be in the house of God once again. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. If you would, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. Scripture we use a lot of times, and I say it all the time, but it's very familiar to me anyway. And I've used it several times, but in a different way. 2 Peter 3, and God showed me this while I was there. 2 Peter 3 and 1 says, "This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance." And I've always used it, Brother Wilson, as to teach an old doctrine and say, I want to remind you of something. I want to remind you of something. It does say about stir up your minds. But I want to show you one thing God showed me. He said, I stir up your pure minds. Pure mind, Brother Shane. That's what God can stir up. If we got something impure in our mind, or if it's in there, it's hard for God to stir us up. It's hard for God to work with something that's impure. I forgot to bring it a cup of water. But if I had a cup of water, Brother Mike, you like water, don't you? I myself don't care much for it, but water, I think you like it, right? If I gave you this water, would you drink it? Probably, right? What if I put a pinch of dirt in it? What if I put the pinch of dirt in it and then poured it in another glass? It's not in the same old dirty glass anymore. Would you drink it then? Why not? Because it's still got dirt in it. You know, this thing I read on the bottle says, this is purified drinking water. Purified drinking water. That means it's got all the impurities out of it. But even knowing that, I still question, what did they purify out of it? What was there to begin with? What did they take out of it? You know, it can be used. It's useful. Well, Brother Michael, the dirty water that I offered you a while ago, would you make coffee out of it? You can't see it then. I mean, it's covered then. Or about hot chocolate. I mean, you can't see the dirt. Would you not take it in? It's the same. It's still dirty. Well, our mind, Brother Wilson, a little bit of impurities can affect everything. You know, religion tells us that we sin every day in word, thought, or deed. They say that an impure thought comes in your mind, well, you've sinned. Well, that's not true. No. The devil puts thoughts in your mind. In your mind is kind of like is the entrance to the soul. He has to come to your mind first to get to your heart. Sin happens when it gets down into your heart. But anyway, what I'm trying to get at is we need to keep our minds pure. Right. If you want to stay sin-free, cut off at the source. Don't wait till it gets down to your heart, then try to get rid of it. Get it out of your mind. Keep your mind pure. Keep your mind. How do you do that? There's a lots of things. In Titus, the first chapter, I'm going to drink some of this purified water.
Well, you talked about that water there a minute ago. If we imagine a fishbowl sitting up here, and we had somebody with a drop in the river, one little tiny drop of something black in there every minute, every 2 minutes, every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And he'd done that all day long. But what would we have?
He'd have a dirty fishbowl, wouldn't he?
What would we have when we put all kind of blue stuff and foods and our thing that's in our system and we put that in our body? What would we come up with?
Get pollution in your body, don't you?
As a lot of people don't know, the Food and Drug Administration is not after the benefits of people.
Yeah.
They're after the benefits of the government.
That's not a good thing, is it?
And I could go into a whole lot more.
Yeah. Yeah, you are what you eat, right?
Yeah.
Well, I must be a double cheeseburger. But, yeah. But in Titus, the first chapter, in verse 15, it says, "Unto the pure all things are pure, but to them which are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, but even their mind and their conscience is defiled. They profess that they know God, but in their works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient, and into every good work reprobate. It says, unto the pure, all things are pure. But to them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure. You ever, Brother Wilson, be talking to somebody and say something innocent, and they'll try to turn that thing around to be something dirty, something perverted. I mean, you didn't have any inkling. It wasn't even, it was just something in normal conversation, and they try to bring something up bad. Their mind is corrupted. Their mind is put, and if you're not careful, they'll corrupt our minds. The way to keep your mind pure, the way to keep your mind from getting that dirt in it, is monitor what goes in it. There's only two main ways that I can think of that you can get something into your mind. That's through the eyes and through the ears. We need to guard what we see, Brother Wilson. If you know that there's something bad on television, don't turn television on. Well, I can tell you right now, they ain't much on the good, so leave it alone. You know, I think it's wrong. I don't have anyone in my house. I don't want one because it's filthy. But you know what? I'll be just as fiery. They can be just as bad on the internet as they're on television. So I'm not going to say good or bad. It's all in what you allow to come in. That box hasn't seen since I've been here because it's plastic. It's the plastic is not going to send anybody to hell. That electricity will not send you to hell. It may send you there faster if you touch it, but electricity itself is not what sends you. It's what comes out. It's the spirit that drives the television. It's whatever you're watching. You can watch a bad movie. You can see something bad on the internet. And keep your mind clean. I ain't talking about ungodly, sinful things. I ain't talking about the sexual stuff. I'm talking about just bad things. What is pure? How much dirt, Brother Mike, would it take for you not to drink that water? How much dirt would it take that water to be impure? A shovelful? Exactly. Same way, if our mind gets a little bit... What I'm getting at is, if we want to have a pure heart before God, which starts with a pure mind, because the mind is the doorway into the heart. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If you're thinking about adultery, then you're an adulterer. If you're covetous, then you're a thief. If you're always jealous, then you're envious. I mean, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The way to guard that is to cut it off at the source. Keep from things going into your mind. We went to the beach this past weekend. I chose October for a very specific reason. Because in August, it ain't as pure. There's a lot less clothes in August. I chose October because there's a lot less chance of having your mind affected. I don't care. It don't take much to get a thought or an image in your mind, and it is so hard to get rid of it. You might not even think anything about it at the time, but the devil has ammunition against you now. He'll have something to throw up at you. So you guard what you see, you guard what you hear, your music that you listen to. It may sound innocent. We were in a gift store down in Myrtle Beach, and they were playing a song. I don't know what it was. Just a easy listening type, soft rock kind of music. And it sounds like a pretty song. Sounds so pretty. And I told my wife, I said, you know what that song's actually saying? It says something about, I don't want to use your love or lose your love. I just want to use your love. In other words, it's talking about fornication. I don't want to marry you. I don't want to commit nothing to you. I just want you for the night. That song sounded pretty, but it's a disgusting, ungodly song. You put that in your mind, you start repeating the words over and over and over again. You don't know it. It's subliminal. You're putting something in your mind that the devil can use. That's just one example of many. And you can listen to a number of different genres of music and get the same effect. The devil uses a lot of different things. He uses entertainment a lot. And because who don't like to be entertained? Well, when I come home from work, I ain't looking for more work. I like to have a little bit of rest and relaxation. Well, there ain't nothing. I like to just sit down and just be entertained a little bit. Well, even too much entertainment can get addictive. Clean entertainment. That was a problem that I was having. After a lot of work, I want to sit down and just rest on the internet. Well, that's okay. But when you spend 4 or 5 hours, you've gone too far. And God showed me that, you know. Nothing bad about it. I wouldn't do anything bad. It was just, even working just, it kept me out of the Scriptures. So it was something that was, though it wasn't sinful, it was causing a problem there. So we had to monitor that. But your mind, it don't take much to get it affected. You sure can.
Talking about prayer, about the mind and the thoughts that come into mind. If we judge them things by the Ten Commandments of the Bible, how will we come out? The television, for instance. If we judge everything that comes on that thing by the Ten Commandments, how would we come out?
Like it is now, off. Because there ain't much on there good, I promise you. Even the news ain't good. I mean, you hear about all this bad stuff, you know. It's not good for us. So, if you can't handle that, best thing to do is leave it alone. I'll just tell you fun. Best thing to do is just leave it alone. Because what goes in your mind stays in. It's like it just sticks to you. You can't get rid of it. You may not ever use it for a long time. The devil will come back and bring it to your mind, and he'll bombard you with it. I've been thinking, I'd be at work sometime, Busty, and some come in, and I thought, now where did that come from? I wasn't thinking about it. And the devil can't charge me with sin because I wasn't even thinking about it. But it just comes to you. Your mind is the doorway to your heart. Whoever controls your mind controls your heart. He who controls your heart controls you. Because as you think in your heart, so are you. That's what it is. We've got to be careful with our mind because that water had been purified, but it didn't happen overnight. They had to work at it and clean it up. I'm not saying you can't get stuff out of your mind, but it will take a lot of work and a lot of time, and some things may never come out. You might be able to treat it, might be able to treat the uprising when it comes up, but it's still there. The best thing to do is to keep your mind clean and pure at all times. Guard yourself. Don't put yourself in situations that you know will give you bad thoughts. And I'm not even talking about sexual. I'm talking about bad thoughts about if you know that somebody rubs you the wrong way and you get riled up every time you see them, that's not a good thing. That's dirt in your water. Stay away from that person if that's what's going to cause you to have a bad feeling. Anything that's going to upset your mind and get you thinking bad, that will take you away from anything that's not godly is ungodly. There ain't no middle ground, Brother Shane. Either it is right or it is wrong. There is no middle ground. So, the best thing to do, if you want to keep things out as bad, fill it with good. If you fill it with good stuff, Brother Shane, there ain't no room for bad. So, find something that is always edifying to your mind and to God, glorifying God somehow. Find something that you don't have to be in service all the time or tape a Bible to your nose. You can put things in your mind just by singing to yourself. Listen to good gospel music. There's all types of alternative things that would fill your mind with good things. That's how we renew our minds. And in Romans 12 and 1 and 2, you all know that scripture. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you... I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That renewing, Brother Mike, is something that we have to do. God don't renew it. We have to renew our own mind, because we have to present ourselves to God. If we're presenting ourselves to God, we don't come to Him and present something bad, right? We wouldn't come to God and try to show Him a dirty sacrifice. He wouldn't work. He wouldn't work in the Old Testament. He won't work in the New Testament. God wouldn't accept a bad sacrifice. He wouldn't accept an unclean sacrifice in the temple, and He won't accept it in this temple. So he commands us to renew our minds. When is that? On Sundays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, wherever you go to service? If all you get, Brother Shane, do what? Daily. If all you're getting, if the only time you purify your mind is when you go to service, then I guarantee you, you're not getting all of it out. There's something that you're lacking. Worship is a daily thing. And Jesus was talking to the woman at the well. He says, she said, you say worship here and we say worship there. He said, I tell you the truth, there coming a day when you'll neither worship here nor there, but you're worshiping in spirit and in truth. I got to worship Him in a lounge chair on the beach by myself, and I wasn't even near a building because I worship Him in spirit and in truth.
Right.
You can do it here tonight. You can do that while you're machining parts. You don't machine, you're an engineer. While you're designing a part, while you're approaching Brother Rusty, you can worship God there. I've been at work, Brother Wilson, and just hear a song, not playing one, but be hearing one in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
My mind, you get that?
Yeah.
Hear a song in my mind and start weeping in the middle of a shop. They think I'm crazy, but because God was filling my mind with something good. It's amazing how God comes to you. Well, you know what? God can't do that if we're always filled with bad things.
Yeah.
I ain't talking about, like I said, sexual things. You can always listen to bad news. You know people who have never got a good thing to say, they're negative all the time? Now, sometimes I like to listen to Sean Hannity, but he can be a very pessimistic type person. If all I listened to was Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck, then I would be down in the dumps all the time. Because the sky's always falling to hear them talk. Now, it's a good place to hear I guess it'd be unbiased, but it's a good place to hear the truth. But if that's all I heard, then it'd be awful. Matter of fact, that's what I did for after the election, and I listened to it several times, and I got to, I had that stinking thinking, you know? I got to where my mind was always, woe is me. You know, what are we going to do now? You got to show me something. Am I not God? Am I not greater than Obama? Am I not greater than Sean Hannity and Glenn Beck say? Yes, he is.
Amen.
Like he's told in Genesis 15 chapter, he said, 18 chapter, is there anything too hard for the Lord?
Right.
Now, we sing the, it's just starting to sing this song, but the question was actually posed or asked by God. Is there anything that I can't do? Show me a problem that he can't fix and I'll show you God that ain't gone. The God I serve, Brother Rusty, has no limits other than what I can put on him, you know? In 1 John, 3rd chapter. I didn't write it down, but I think it's in Psalms. It says, we're talking about purifying your mind and how you get your mind tainted. He and David said, I will set no unclean thing before my eyes. We always use that for the television, but that was 4,000 years before television was ever invented. He was talking about, I won't look upon anything, anybody, or any place that brings a defilement to my mind. And that can be used for that. But that can be also used for lots of things. You can read a novel. You can be in bad company. You can just... There's an umpteen thousand of things that he could be talking about. What is in essence, just don't put nothing in your mind that you wouldn't want Jesus to see. Because guess what? He does see it. Whether you tell him to or not, he sees it. And if he put it in there, then it works its way into your heart. Then it gets into your whole soul and mind. But 1 John 3, verse 1, it says, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the Son of God. What a glorious thing, Brother Rusty, that me, a nobody in a nowhere town, that God saw fit to not only just save me and make me a servant, not just make me a slave, but He made me a son.
Yes.
You could stop right there and preach a week's revival on it. He made me His son. I have all the rights of a son. He put the ring, like of the prodigal son, he put the ring on my finger. That ring is not jewelry. That ring is a symbol of power. That ring is a symbol of being able to do business in the name of God.
Right.
He gave me, in other words, he gave me his debit card. If I need it, it's better than a debit card, because a debit card can run out of money. But his storehouse never runs dry. If I need it, but if I need money, I don't have to have it, because I can pray a bill in. Because God has so many times brought me a bill that I couldn't pay. He has provided, I could go on for hours of how He's paid bills. So I know I can do that. Okay, whenever I see people who were sick and needed a healing, and I've seen it instantly. I've seen Brother Robert one time had a migraine. He couldn't hardly stand up. It was hurting so bad. We went to the office. We prayed, but God did the work. All we did was say a few words.
Right.
We said a few words. By the time he walked in the sanctuary, it was gone. I've seen it happen. So he's my healer. He's my banker. He's my savior. I mean, to think that the holy God of heaven, who spoke and said, let there be and there was, wants to be my father. Behold what manner of love. That's not the message, but I get excited when I think that God loves me. God loves me. Not the world, but he loves me. Make it personal. It says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Brother Mike, if we seem strange to the world, that's because we are. Because we don't have the same Father. You know what? There's two families in the world. I ain't talking about the Hatfields and McCoys. I'm talking about there's two families. There's the family of God.
Right.
And bad to say it, is the family of the devil. There ain't no third family. If you're not saved, you're a sinner. If you're not a child of God, you're a child of the devil. I can show it to you in 1 John that says that. He said, "Behold, this is when they manifested that." That's why they don't understand the motive. That's why we like odd ducks to them, because we don't have the same motives, don't have the same drives, don't have the same ambitions as the world. We think different. We act different. We better be thinking different, acting different, talking different. If you ain't, then you probably ain't got what I'm talking about. Because God makes you a new creature.
Yes,
old things pass away. Behold, all things are become new. Everything becomes new. Your talk, your speech, your where you go, what you see, what you do.
Amen.
Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Now, that's a great thing to look forward to, Rusty. One of these days, I ain't going to have this broken down body. I ain't going to have to worry about my knees hurting all the time, my back hurting all the time. I ain't got to worry about wearing these glasses and not being able to hear, because I have a body like him. He don't have those defects. I'm building up something. For the rest of us, it's going to be a glorious day.
Amen.
Well, if you are looking for that, the next verse.
Yeah, right.
And every man that hath this hope, what hope? The hope of one day being like Christ. Now, I ain't talking about being like Christ without sin. That's here today. Without sin, because you got sin in life and not like Christ. We have that today. But I'm talking about having a body like Him, being able to live forever in that same body. We'll live forever, but not in this body here.
True.
Thank God this one won't live forever. But if you have that hope in you, of one day being like Him, and seeing Him as He is, He purifies Himself. He purifies Himself. But let's see, God will not purify you. He will sanctify you. He will save you, but the purifying is up to you. You got to get the dirt out of your life. You got to get the bad influence out of your life. You got to get the things that are bringing you down. You got to get the things that you're seeing, the things that you're doing, things that you're listening out. If you have that up in you. If not, then you still continue to be continually defiled. It says, every man that hath his hope in him purifies himself even as he is pure. Who's that? As God is pure. I want to be just like him. I want to be as pure and holy. We can be that way through Christ. Now, I'm not lifting a man up. Without Christ, I'm nothing. But God, with God's Spirit in me, I have that power to do that. In Titus chapter 2, you sure can.
Talk about purifying yourself. That's a responsibility that most of the world don't want to receive today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they want to say, I'm saved by grace, and leave it as God doing all the work.
Oh yeah.
But God has responsibility for us to take hold on. Purifying ourselves.
You better believe it. You better believe it. Works don't save you, but once you get saved, there's works afterwards. Because James said, without works, faith is dead.
Correct.
In Titus, the second chapter, verse 11, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us. Now, Brother Rusty, this is not something exclusive to you and me or just in America. He said the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath, which is the past tense word, appeared unto all men. So men without excuse. That you say, well, they've never been in a church building. That's okay. God is bigger than a building. God's grace has appeared to them and showed them. And the thing about it is they may not accept it. It says, it teaches us, God's grace teaches us that denying ungodliness, that means anything that's ungodly, anything that's not like God, if you can't see God doing it, you better not be doing it either. Because we're supposed to be images of Him, right? We're supposed to be Christians or little Christ. Now, I'm not saying, Brother Mike, that we'll ever die on God. I'm not saying all that. But we're supposed to be just like Him. He says, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Well, if you got Christ Jesus' mind, and you ain't going to be going places that some people are going.
Sure.
Or doing things that people are doing and still claiming to be a Christian. God had a separate people. If 86% of America claims to be Christian. If that were true, we wouldn't have to worry about abortion. 86% of people could vote that stuff out. You wouldn't have to worry about all these bars and honky-tonks and junk like that. We could stop it. We'd put them out of business. Whenever they got converted back in Paul's day, they started losing money. They had to shut down a lot of the houses of worship for Diana, because they wasn't very going because they were getting saved.
Right.
Don't tell me that the world is 86%, or America's 86% Christian and do the things they're doing. That ain't going to happen. It's not going to happen. It says, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Now, we always think of lust as a filthy thing. That word lust, Brother Wilson, means a strong desire. Let me tell you something, and I'm not... I have a lust or a strong desire for an F-350. That lights my fire. I'm telling you this. I love those things. But Brother CJ, that's not what drives me. If I get one, great. If not, so be it. I'm not so worried about that worldly desire, that strong desire. Some people, Brother Rusty, that's all they do. If that's their worldly lust, if that's their driving force, they'll work to get that thing. Well, I'm working after something that's not like that. I'm working for a higher calling. I'm pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. But, and it could also mean the bad things too. Lust is, but sometimes people used to use lust as a filthy desire. But you can just have a desire for a companion, chase after a companion, even though God's saying, no, this is the wrong one. You know, you can do that. Deny worldly lust. That we should live sober. Now, he told you what not to do. Now he gives you some commandments. These are commandments of Christians. These are characteristics of Christians. If you don't have these in your life, then you're not a Christian. He says that we should live soberly. That's not talking about not drunk, because that's part of it. But he's talking about having a sober mind, having a mind clear as you can see the things of God. And we should live soberly, righteously. Now, people say, there's none righteous, no, not one. Well, that scripture's in there, but you got to get the context.
Right.
Well, the scripture's also in there, Brother Wilson. It says, is any among you sick? Let him ask the church to pray, or the elders of the church to pray. And the effectual, fervent prayer of what? A righteous man. Well, if there's none righteous, no, not one, then why do we pray? There is a possibility. There is a commandment to be righteous, and there is that possibility to be righteous here on earth. When? It says to live soberly, righteously, and godly. Now, I ask you a little closer. We're supposed to be like God. That's a strange concept. A lot of people want to be saved and want to be forgiven, but they don't want to be changed. They still want to live after the same lust and desires of flesh, but have a label. I heard Brother Dishman say one time, somehow, he said people want a religion to die by, but not one to live by. What he means by that is they want to be able to say in their eulogy or whatever in the paper, so-and-so was a member of such. They want that, but they don't know religion to tell them how to live. They just want to be able to say that he was part of this church or that church. That's not going to get you anywhere. That may soothe your loved one's mind, but that's not going to get you in heaven. Instead, but we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the future world to come. They don't say that. That's what they're teaching, Brother Rusty. One day, one glad morning, when the sun shall shine, I'll fly away or whatever. And that's not only a song, but they always got a thing pushed in the future. One day I'll have victory over sin. One day I'll have this or all that. Won't we all be happy over there? Well, tell you what, I'm happy over here.
Yeah.
I'm happy over here. They don't know what's on, but don't push everything to the future. We need to live righteously, soberly, and godly in this present world. I have victory over sin today in this time world here I'm in now. It says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of that great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us that He might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto Himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Brother Wilson, He has a people, and they are definitely peculiar. That don't mean that they're strange or weird. That means that they are set apart, that they are different than the rest of the world. They're not like everybody else. They don't look like everybody else. They don't talk like everybody else. Their drives and their intents ain't the same as everybody else. God's people are different. We should make a difference where we go. They might not be able to say, I know this or that, but they ought to know, say, there's something different about him. There's something that ain't like everybody else. I've known a lot of engineers, but that's one strange character. He's different than everybody else. They need to know that there's something. that makes you different than them. You can do that without ever saying a word. Your life. I'd rather see a testimony than hear a testimony. I'd rather see somebody living clean than talking clean. I mean, we're talking about, they say I do this to do that. I want to see some living. That's what makes a difference. There's enough people out here. There was a guy today at work, and I know how he lives. But he's preaching tonight somewhere in Gastonia. And he was, as far as me to my wife away from me, I couldn't hear. I'm hard of hearing anyway. He was preaching to me. I don't know what he said, but it made him feel good. But he was preaching. I didn't understand what he said. Well, I know the things he said prior to that, that was ungodly. The Bible says, can a spring bring forth fresh water and sour? No. Either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad. You can't get apples from an orange tree. Well, he was trying to give me an apple from an orange tree. But I know what he lives ain't what he was trying to say. That makes me sick. That makes God sick. What I'm trying to say is, God makes you different. He makes you a peculiar people. If we're not living any different than the world, we need to just drop your sign, get you some worldly attire, get you some worldly desires, and get out there with them. Because you're not doing yourself any good. As a matter of fact, you're hindering the work of God if you're not going to live what you say you're living.
That's the whole pleasure you're ever going to have.
Exactly. If you're not going to live for God with your whole heart, that you'll live in sin, because you can get nothing else after this that's ever going to be any good. But we purify ourselves. We make ourselves clean. We take away all the influences of the world that defiles us. We should be working. That's what sanctification is. You know, Billy Wilson?
Yeah.
I've heard, you know, word and work of grace, two words of grace. I got saved on July and got sanctified, completely sanctified in August. I don't believe that. You may have got another dose of sanctification, but it's a daily thing. Bible says, sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth, thy word is truth. If you're saying that you're fully sanctified, and that means you know all the word and you live into everything, it's not going to happen. We get closer every day. Sister Kelly, we need to be every day looking for that next little grain of sand that's in our water that we can take out. If there's none there, praise God. And it shouldn't be there every day. We shouldn't have, but I'm not talking about sin now. I'm talking about the influences that lead to sin. Christians do not sin, Brother Rusty, not on a regular basis. There's always that possibility, but we've too many times have taught that as the rule instead of the exception. There is the exception. But what I'm trying to say is, Brother Rusty, if you're always continually having a bad thought, find what's causing the thought. Cut that thing off, whatever it is. If it's the people you're around, find new people to be around. If it's for your working, you can't get that off, find you another job. Whatever it takes to cut off the influx of bad thoughts, anything. You don't have to be even sinful. Things that are impure.
Yes.
When I drink water, I want it as pure as possible. Don't you? Think of that. God wants your mind as pure as possible. The purer your mind, the better chance you are to live free from sin, Shane. Like I said at the beginning, your mind is the door to your soul. If you cut off the bad influences from your eyes and in your ears, there's a lot less chance of getting into your heart. In the next scripture is James 4:1. James 4:1. It says, from whence cometh wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even from your lust? Don't think about it. It's a strong desire. Even the lust or strong desires that war in your members, you lust and you have not. You kill and you desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and you war and you have not, because you ask not. You ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, that you consume upon your lust. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Here's a hard statement to make. It says, whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. God loves the world, but the world is his enemy. They said love your enemies, didn't he? The world is against God. The world is not a lover of God. said, do you think the Scriptures saith in vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusts us to envy? But He giveth more grace. Wherefore He saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace to the humble. Here's a, if you want to fight the devil and you want to win victory, here's a formula you got to follow. You can't take them out of order. It says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Stop. The first thing you got to do is realize that I have no power over the enemy. He had me bound for several years. I couldn't get free. It was only the grace of God that set me free. It's only the grace of God that keeps me free. I have to submit to God every day. You submit when you get saved, and the next day, and the next day, and the next day. You always submit yourself to God. Then He says, resist the devil. These are commandments now. These are not suggestions. He says, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you. This is a commandment. This is a promise, Brother Mike. If I will submit to God first. A lot of people like to, the part that says, resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But they don't read the first part. It says, submit yourself, therefore, unto God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Brother Wilson, you are as close to God today as you want to be. Because you have a promise that if you want to be closer to God, all you got to do is start drawing towards Him. He's ready to reciprocate that. He's always waiting to come closer. But He puts that, the ball is in our court. It's up to us to make that first move. If I want to be close to God, He may ask me to set some things aside. That's the hard part. He may say, if you love me, will you do this? Take away this and take away that. And I said it before, and this don't make me no better than anybody. It's just an example, okay? Nothing wrong with goat herding. I love goats. Had a bunch of them. God asked me, He said, would you put those things aside that you have more time for the ministry? I said, God, for you, I'll do anything. Since that time, God has increased my ministry. I'd be at home feeding the goats when I should be out preaching or teaching. Because it takes a lot of time when you got a herd of different sizes and in different lots. You got to keep them separate. If you don't have keep them separate, you have more goats than you can keep because they multiply. I'm telling you. But there's work involved. Well, it kept me busy, Brother Rusty. And He said, for me, would you lay this aside? Nothing sinful that. But He asked me to do it, and I did, and He's blessed me abundantly. He's given me more chances to preach than I have time to do it sometimes. So it's been really good. And that's just one thing. It says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. That's the first thing. If you want to draw nigh to God, you got to first get all sin in your life. Don't think that you're going to get closer to God with sin in your life. God cannot look upon sin. God cannot dwell with sin. How? It said, 1 Corinthians, I didn't write it down, 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, I believe it is. It says, how shall two walk together except they be agreed? He said, what fellowship hath God with the devil, or Belial, which is the same thing. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? So if there's sin in your life, Brother Shane, that's the first thing. There you know, if ands, but about, get sin out. And then it says, after that's done, purify your hearts. He didn't say He'd purify your hearts. He told you to purify your hearts. You've got to get the things out that's giving you trouble. Whatever it is, if wasting time on the internet is giving you trouble, fix that. However, either limit yourself or turn the thing off. Right. It's better to miss that than miss heaven. I'm not saying that sin, I'm saying that whatever it is controlling your mind, eventually will control your heart. What controls your heart controls your body. So cut off at the source where I'm getting at. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. And that word double-minded, I want to read that from the original Greek. It stuck out to me. The thing of double-minded is somebody is confused or talks two different ways, no matter whose company he's in. We think that two-faced or whatever. But double-minded had a different meaning. I thought it was pretty neat. Greek word, 1374, it means two-spirited or vacillating, or in other words, unstable in opinion or purpose. One day, I want to go for God and do some work. Next day, well, I ain't got time for that. You know, that was good yesterday. You know, they're always back and forth. Always back and forth. It said, to purify your hearts, you double-minded. In other words, make up your mind. Do you want to serve me? Then give it all. If not, get out. God don't need that unstable mind. In one place He said in James, He said, an unstable man is unstable in all his ways. A double-minded mind is unstable in all his ways. So He said, Make up your mind. Work for me or not. We need Brother Shane wholehearted service. God won't take 99% of you. He won't take part of you. He wants all of you. Now, James 1, verse 12. This is very familiar. And that's when I was thinking I was going to a while ago. But James 1 and 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation. Now, I despise temptation. I don't like it.
No.
I don't like trials and temptations. But without those, Rusty, I'll never do any growing. If I don't have some hard times, if I don't have some temptation, I'll never grow. They said, but you're blessed. And that word blessed means you're happy when you endure it.
Yeah.
Not always taken out of it, but you walk through it.
Right.
If he always took it away when you got it, if he, Brother Mike, if he never went all the way through the trial, you never know you could go through it. If he always took it away when you started feeling the first little bit of pain or you start feeling bad, you would never grow. But you could have experiences. You say, I remember back when I had this problem or that problem. It's blessed when you can endure it. It says, for when he's tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man, sanctified and unsanctified, every man and every woman who is alive is tempted. Everybody. We're all, there's none of us exempt. We're all tempted. When? When he's drawn away of somebody's lust. No. But Rusty, you know what? The things that you desire don't have no effect on me. They don't bother me at all. Once you, your drive, your zeal doesn't affect me. What affects me is what I want and my desires and my lust. And that's, he can't tempt me with Brother Mike's weakness. Unless we share that, of course. But what you're after doesn't bother me. It's whenever I'm gone away of my own lust.
Right.
And what I'm getting at is, if I cut off the influences in my mind, I'll have a lot less of those in my heart because I cut off at the source. Therefore, see, every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. That's not sin, though. The world tells you that you just sinned. You had a bad thought. You had a desire. You had something. No, they'll put something in your mind,
right,
and then come on the other side and accuse you. That's not sin. That's whenever, it says, then when lust hath conceived, that strong desire has to be conceived. It brings forth sin. That's whenever the strong desire gets beyond your mind,
right,
and you start thinking on it in your heart.
Right.
And that's when it starts becoming sinful. It says, then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. If we want to have a lot less battles, a lot less struggles, a lot less temptations, if we can cut off what's going into our mind and start filling with good things, we don't have to fight so much. Now, that don't mean we're never going to have temptations. It's always going to come. But you have a lot less battles. Keep your mind pure, Brother Shane, and you'll prosper spiritually. I'm not saying you have much money. This is not Joel Osteen promising you a BMW and a mansion. I'm telling you that you'll have victory over sin if you'll do these things. If you'll cut off the stream of things going in your eyes and in your ears that give you the trouble, you'll be a lot better off. So purify yourself. That's a daily process or a weekly process. Or how often God shows you, hey, this is giving you trouble, that's giving you trouble. Whenever God shows you, be willing to take care of it. That's all I got, Brother Mike.
Good recipe.